Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is David Warner. He has a website called Invisible Light. It is in connection with out-of-the-body experiences. And David's aims are to help others to explore their out-of-the-body consciousness. And I have to say, if anyone is well equipped to discuss that, it must be David. He tells me he has had over 2,000 out-of-the-body experiences. So welcome to the program, David. Are you there?
Yes, I am, sir. Thank you for having me on your show.
Fine. I'd like to start, obviously, as I would say at the beginning. Can you tell our listeners how you first became interested and started with this business of out-of-the-body experiences?
Well, actually what happened is back in 1987, I was staying at my friend's house, Matt G., and he lived in Detroit. And it was a summer night, and it just so happened to be that I'm upstairs in his room, he's reading a book, and I'm playing electric guitar, and I'm so engrossed in what I'm doing, I kind of take a look over to what my friend's reading, and on this book, you see a woman laying down, sleeping, and she's in her clothes and what have you, and you could see a phantom double image of her rising above her body. And what caught my attention was that this phantom image of her, she was naked. You could see her breasts. Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, what are you reading? And immediately that, you know, caught my attention. And I'm like, wow, are you reading something kind of like erotic or Playboy or what? And my friend explained to me, no, that's not what the scenario is. He explained to me it was a book on soul journeys, astral projection, being able to leave the body. And as he explained to me about out-of-body experiences and shifting consciousness into a spiritual level, that's when it just pulled me in, where it's like I had to know if this was real or not. I had to actually find out, experience this for myself personally, if it was real or not. And it was almost like a calling, just tugging at my soul that I had to know, because it's just something, you know, I've never ever heard before or even knew ahead of time that people could actually do this. And as my friend explained it to me more about out-of-body experiences and different modes and methods and techniques, I pursued it for a good couple months. And then after a good couple months added, then I had my first out-of-body experience.
Right. How long ago did that start for you, David?
I started this in 87, and I was at my friend's house in late May, and it was about early August, late July that I had my first experience. And it took me about, I'd say about a good couple months to actually induce the OBE.
Right. I'd like to just comment on some of the facts and figures that you gave me from your statistical data breakdown of miscellaneous dreams to out-of-the-body experiences. And if I get the percentages right here, apart from wide-awake-induced experiences, you seem to be saying that about 50% of us probably experience being out of the body, although perhaps many of us may attribute that to a dream state.
Okay, I'm kind of having a difficult time hearing you. What was the question again?
Well, I was looking at your data from the statistical breakdown you did of miscellaneous dreams to out-of-the-body experiences. And apart from the wide-awake-induced ones, it looked to me as though around 50% are actually out-of-the-body experiences.
Yeah, the conscious OBEs, which is wide-awake-induced OBEs. In other words, one is falling asleep, they enter the trance state and able to actually leave the body without, you know, losing touch or going into the OBE from a dream, a lucid dream, to a projection. This is basically falling into a sleep, it's a light trance, and then waking up and leaving immediately.
Yes. I thought that, to me, would have been a rather high percentage, because, to be honest, I can't say that I know many people who admit to having had out-of-the-body experiences, and if my own experience is anything to go by, I would guess they're very few and far between.
Okay.
I've only had one that I can actually recall, although there was another occasion when I was aware of going out of the body, but no further. It seemed to stop somewhere when I was, as I might call it, out in space. But when you've been out of the body and you go into what some people call the astral regions, what I wanted to know is, have you met people in these regions that you already knew of? You know, like perhaps neighbours, friends, or celebrities, anything like that?
Yeah, I have been able to, on occasion, when I do project, I mean, I do see people. You know, a lot of times I'll see people that are like in a dream type, kind of a drunken state. And a lot of times I've noticed as I would look into their eyes or just the way they act, they're unconscious. Or I'll see like a twinkle of light, like a spark, that will kind of signify that they are alert. Now, I have seen my, you know, relatives, family members, my wife, my three Scottish Terrier dogs, friends, co-workers. On the other side, it's a lot of times when I would communicate with them, and then I would try to explain to them, hey, we're on the other side, remember this, and then when I would come back, you know, the likelihood that they won't remember, or my subconsciousness is creating that person at that time, or clothing somebody else to make them look like they're a familiar face to me. So, like, to answer your question, you know, yes, you can meet people on their side, but I would like to get it to the point where I could actually do a partner exploration and meet up with a friend, go on a do some testing, go on a journey, and be able to report our findings and find that parallel consistency.
Yeah. Have you at any time met any of your guides, and would they in that event have known what you were endeavoring to do and helped you in your sort of research?
Yeah, I've had many guides that I have met up with, and the guides that I've met up with, you know, they just take on a physical form, just like you would see anybody in waking life. The guides are there at moments during your experience to help you get over maybe a fear, or to explain something, or if you have a question that needs to be answered, they are there at certain times to help you.
Yeah.
I have had the opportunity to actually bump into higher beings, which are called angels, spiritual beings, and the first time that I had witnessed and experienced an angel in that type of an encounter, I could tell a difference between a guide versus the angel and how they interact with you. And the angel that I had met, she was very quick. There was no judgment from her. There was definitely a lesson to learn and instructions to say to me, this is what you need to work on. And she did show me a few things that at the time, you know, I physical description is very hard to explain what she was showing me. I did see some physical stuff that I had questioned about, you know, what was going on, and she explained in detail. I did see the light in the tunnel, but as for her in general, it was a female angel. She did have the wings. She didn't have no halo or, you know, white, you know, aura or anything like that, but she was probably in her late 40s, brown hair, kind of curly, long, and she had a nice tan and very attractive, but she was very quick, precise, and as I would think of something, almost ready to say, she's telling me the answer. You know, just, I mean, right on cue, it's like without missing a beat. And so what I've noticed, you know, with the different people or the guides that I've met, you can tell the different level of how they interact and the progression of different people that you meet in the astral.
Yes. Were you able to ask this entity sort of questions?
Yeah, at the time of the experience, I was trying to reach into the higher planes, higher spiritual levels. And I do have a barrier, a slight anxiety and a little fear going into those levels. I shouldn't, because of the fact of how many times I've been able to project for the last 20 years. But still, going into non-physical spiritual levels, it can be exciting, anxiety with a little fear there, kind of like losing yourself. And as I had asked in previous experiences, I had just regular guides that just looked like you and me, and they would try to help me, and without me, you know, getting guidance from them, I would pretty much bail on the experience, abort it, and return back to the body, and then thinking, oh, you know, what did I do here? But with this angel, what she explained to me during the experience is, you know, are you okay? Are you comfortable? There was always a reassurance from her, or from me to her, and explaining. And she kept asking me, are you okay? Can you handle this? It wasn't like, this is how it is, blah, 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 deal with it. She was you know, comfortable. She was very comfortable. There was no judgment from her. And she definitely gave me a lesson, a teaching, more of basically, to sum it up, she had asked, I asked her a question about our lives, physical, spiritual, before birth, after birth, and during physical life, is everything recorded? And she said, yes, everything that you have described, asked, is recorded. And I, you know, I kind of think about, at the time, you know, I'm thinking in the experience, I'm like, everything's recorded. And I actually kind of swore, and I said the S-H-I-T word. She kind of chuckled, and with a jovial tone. And she said, that is something that you can work on. And I knew exactly what she meant. And not that, you know, I'm a vulgar person, but, you know, those words do slip out here and there. And, you know, I started to think, you know, after I came back from the experience, you know, who am I to argue with an angel if she's saying, hey, this is something that you can work on as a tip, as advice, to make you a little bit better of a person. And so ever since then, that experience that occurred about a year ago, I have not sworn. I kept my oath, you know, and my word to her, and I have, you know, it's really tough. It's really a challenge trying not to say, you know, vulgar words or when you're talking with people. You know, it was just, you know, a moving experience, let alone, you know, being in the presence of, you know, one of God's, you know, creations, you know, a spiritual, an angel, and let alone her giving me advice. That was just a very beautiful experience. So, you know, I've been able to pretty much lick the swearing and remove it from my vocab.
That was wonderful. Have you only met this particular angel on the one occasion?
I have met different angels on occasions. And I would say probably on the average, I have witnessed or experienced about maybe four or five different times that I have, you know, asked for or calling for, you know, angels. Sometimes they do not come. And sometimes had to go into the higher plane levels to reach to them.
Right.
And in one particular experience, I can remember, again, this was about a year ago or so, I was traveling, I was actually flying, and I remember traveling in the direction what I thought was east. And I wanted to, you know, feel love, you know, raise my vibrations into the higher plane levels. And then all around me, you know, everything kind of stripped away from me, physical, like landmarks and houses and trees and oceans, and everything became like diamond-shaped colors, it almost looked like they were like chiclet colors, you know, that gum. And then I broke into a forest area, and I saw like a glass house. And inside this glass house, I saw people leading into it. It was like a group that was actually being on a tour of some kind of botanical garden. And as I started communicating with some of these people in this group, and I was telling them, you know, I would like to go higher into the spiritual levels, and I would like to be able to see if I can actually, you know, reach into the higher heavens and witness, experience angels. And as one of them instructed me, he said, all you have to do is just to go upward, you know, bring the love into you, and focus on something that's positive, that you love the most, and then you'll start seeing them. And as I did that, all I remember is going upward, and I started seeing, like, flares of light around me. And the flares of light started to materialize, and I could see angels. And then I remember going from that environment into a courtyard where two angels were with me, and we were sitting down at this table. I'm in front. I'm sitting down. It's almost like it was in a courtyard, marbled stone pillars, the whole works. And I'm sitting down. One angel's on one side, the other angel's across from me. One was male, one was female. And I can tell you exactly the description to the T, you know, everything, what happened and what they looked like. And as I started to check out the environment, I would look into the distance, and I saw a mountain and with trees and like in a stream of a waterfall coming down from the mountain. And just being in this courtyard and then where I was, you know, sitting down looking at these two celestial beings, and then I would look upward, and then I would see flares of light and different colors whizzing around, and I'm just absolute in tears. And it's just after that experience was over, it's like, you know, wow, what a trip. But it's a very beautiful experience, and definitely a blessing to be able to do something like that. It's a definite gift.
How do they prepare you to go back down through the dimensions? Is that sort of in a term instantaneous, or do you go through the same levels again?
A lot of it can be instantaneous, but I've noticed is on the return home to the physical body, you can definitely feel energy shifts and realignment, you know, into the physical body. It feels like you're going into a cold room, and you can feel differences in temperature. And there is a moment where you will black out a bit, and then you will wake up. But you can definitely feel all that going on, and those sensations of realignment, the temperature, the shifting, and the actual energy and the coldness that the physical body is at the time, and going in from the spiritual level into. Now there are times where, you know, I can just get out of body, float a few feet away, and then I'll be pulled back to the body, and I'll see myself going back in to the physical body and realigning. But as farther as I go, then a lot of times it takes a little bit to come back in to make that transition back. Usually a lot of that is due to lack of energy being able to sustain that awareness and that level for a length of time, and I just burn out and I come back.
It makes one understand why some of these entities that come down to our level actually experience a certain degree of discomfort.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just what I was, you know, telling you about all this, you know, these beings that I have met, you know, the first time that I had met that angel, I mean, I wasn't calling for an angel. I wasn't looking for an angel. I was just needing a little help. And, you know, it's just a absolutely, I mean, you're paralyzed with your mouth drawn down, you know, just absolutely stunned. And it's like, you know, hey, could somebody pinch me? You know, is this real?
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it definitely has a profound effect when you do return physically, and how you interact with people on a physical level and what you can do and how you can interact and communicate and help others here as well.
Yes. Now, you mentioned that you had both female and male angels around you. How do you know the difference?
How do I know the difference between an
between
angel?
A female and a male angel?
Well, I mean, all I have is to go on is their presence, their features.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the one angel, the first one that I met, you know, she was probably late 40s. You know, she had the wings, the gown. Not a white gown, it's more kind of like a soft, light, baby blue color, kind of like silk gown. She definitely had the female characteristics, you know, the body, everything, and, you know, the tan and the facial features. Now, the other angel that I had met in the other experience when I was, like, sitting down in the courtyard, it was a red-headed male, a beard. I could see the wings, and I could see, you know, this person was probably, I'd say maybe early 40s.
Yeah.
And a kind of stocky build, too. So, I mean, that's how I was able to tell. And it's good possible that, you know, at the time that they could have been shifting their image to something that I could understand, but I also have to go by the feeling and the emotion of that, you know, being, that angel that I was communicating with. I mean, do they have a kind of a female presence, a feel to them, or do they have a male presence feel to them?
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, obviously, that you were taken by these angels into the higher dimensions. Have you also had any experiences in the lower dimensions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have. A lot of my experiences start off in the lower realms, and there's many different names for it: astral plane, spiritual level, third dimension, fourth dimension, what have you. I just look at it as just different layers of level, almost like an onion that you peel away, and then you keep going up higher on a vibrational rate. And the lowest level is a mirrored reflection of the physical plane level that we are on right now. For simplicity purposes, we'll just call this the astral plane. The astral plane, all my experiences, the majority of all my experiences start at that level, and then I have to actually kind of work to get to the higher level.
Yeah.
And some of those levels that I've seen in the astral level mostly represent my current surroundings, where I live, where I reside, where I start off with. And reoccurring experiences, I'd say about 90% of my experiences always start at my mom and dad's house. And my mom and dad is about 150 miles east of me. And over the last 20 years, about 90% of the time, that's where my experiences start. So, you know, you start to think about this, you know, all my experiences start at mom and dad's. And I'm not to say that I haven't had experiences outside of mom and dad's. You know, I've had them here locally. I've had them, you know, starting off in where, I don't know, or familiar surroundings, or in different, you know, countries or states but they always start off on a lower level.
Right, yes.
And the static consistency where they start off, it's very interesting because it's always a place of comfort that I feel that is a good starting point, kind of like the World Wide Web address is my mom and dad's house, and that's my starting point.
Right. So to recap there, when I mentioned the lower dimensions, I also had in mind those areas that are said to be almost in a state of total darkness, but I gather from what you've said, you haven't actually gone that low, shall we say.
I mean, I've had experiences where I would be in total darkness and I couldn't see anything.
Mm.
Okay? And those kind of just baffle me, like, why? And then I've had experiences where when I project, I'm conscious, and I don't have that little moment where things are dark in that separation process where I just wake up, I'm in the spiritual body, and I just go. Now, I've been in places where it's just, you know, like starting off in the OBE where it's all static electricity all around you, kind of like the electricity or the static that you would see on your TV set.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wake up into that, you project into that, and you're like asking yourself, okay, what is this? You know, I've seen that too on the lower levels. And a lot of that is how to recognize it is basically based on, you know, the feeling and, you know, the love of it too.
Right,
I mean, does it feel kind of dark and gray, kind of scary, or is it kind of a higher tune, a vibration that you feel joy? And that's how I can tell that I'm on a lower level.
Yes, yes. At any time, have you ever had any unpleasant experiences in your out-of-the-body travels?
Yeah, I've had my share. You know, it's not all wine and roses out there.
Yes.
It's just a fact of life, you know, in the physical, we experience good days and bad days. And on the other side, you know, I have good days and bad days too. I've had at times where, in one experience, I'll give like something that's kind of like light in contrast to what other experiences that I've had that were real, you know, I don't want to go back to sleep again, you know. One experience, I had a couple attacking me with a knife. And they had me on the ground, pinned, and the gal is taking this knife and just pushing it right into my shoulder blade. And, of course, I'm buying into this, thinking, you know, oh, my God, I'm going to be stabbed. And I am kicking and screaming, and I'm feeling this pain go right into my shoulder blade. And then as I started thinking, coming out of this, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm resistant to pain. I can't feel anything. You know, I shouldn't be able to feel pain. And as I overcame the whole scenario of what was being thrown at me, I mentally was able to gather my thoughts and overpower this couple, and, you know, throw them off of me by mental telepathy, whatever you call mental levitation, or overpowering them with my mind, maybe using like the Force, you know, like in Star Wars, and, you know, throwing them, you know, off of me. And I confronted this couple, asking, why are you doing this? And this couple basically told me, we want to be your friend. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, this is not a way to friendship. And as I, you know, talked with them a little bit more and try to educate them, saying, why are you doing this? What's your cause behind this? He says, well, you look a little different from the others. We just wanted to be friends. And I told them, you know, putting a knife in me, locking me down, and stabbing me is not, you know, my little welcome sign
no.
I would, or like a welcome greeting. So I told them, don't do that. And, you know, that's mild compared to, you know, a real dark, ugly experience I had one time was I awakened. I had the vibrations, sleep paralysis, you know, the energies flowing through me, everything. Awakened in my physical bed, and I'm looking at this entity. Had kind of like a cloak on. I couldn't see its face, but I could just see kind of like a fluorescent, like blue or green eyes. And I remember just a arm reaching out, strangling me, choking me. And this entity is telling me, become one of us, take our hand. And I'm like, no way. And I'm calling for God, Jesus, everything. You know, help me. I want out of this scenario. And I said, hey, I'm not going to be a part of you. I'm going to feel love, and I'm going to be protected, and I want back. And as I did return back to the physical and finally awakened, that type of experience, you know, waking up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and you go through something like that, it's like, okay, I'm going to put the coffee on, and I am not going back to bed. It's just, I'm not going back to bed. I mean, that's worst case scenario. I mean, I've been burned. I've been stabbed. I've been hit with baseball bats. I've had bricks thrown at me. I've been, you know, thrown through glass windows. I've had like trees that looked like a person walking, like in a weird type pattern structure, walking towards me, lunge towards me, and stick their branches right into me. I've had that happen to me. That was really weird. But I mean, overall, I mean, I'm still here. You know, I've survived it. And you're going to expect those experiences every now and then.
Would it be true to say that providing you do not show any fear or feel any fear, that these people can't in fact harm you?
I don't know if these people could really harm me in a sense of, you know, damaging my soul or spirit body, but I think it's more of a mental mark that they leave on you. And it's also, you know, how the saying goes, is the only thing that we fear is fear itself. And as simple as the fear might be, I mean, it's real for all of us. And sometimes we just got to dive in and face that fear and realize, wow, that was something that I worried about and caused all this tossing and turning and anxiety and stress for nothing, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've always been able to come back successfully. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here on the phone with you. I'd be on the other side.
No.
But, you know, I've always, you know, have kept, you know, before going out, always praying to God and, you know, Christ and angels and, you know, the white light and love and everything and helping me and guiding me. And if that's an experience that I have to learn, you know, so be it, of whatever it's negative, because, you know, we do experience things and that's how we learn, for good or bad.
Yeah. Now, most of the experiences that I've read about where people have gone out of the body, I would say that the majority seem to end up in that area that's called Nirvana or the Summerland, where there seems to be some replication of what we have on Earth, but to a greater and finer and purer level, where you have these beautiful bright colours, etc. In your experiences, is that an area that most people seem to go to?
I think a lot of people, on accident and on random, depending on the situation, I mean, if it's near-death experience or if they're meditating or they're trying to leave their body, I mean, on my personal experience, I mean, in the beginning, all my experiences really revolved around physical.
Yeah.
And as later on down the road, you know, years, years, and years, and as I become more of a spiritual, kinder, and caring, and loving person, I started to actually go into the higher planes, and that made sense. And I, a lot of that's, you know, spiritual development and soul searching, and not really thinking just, you know, one-track minded, you know, me, and nobody else. I think the majority of the people really start at, you know, the root, you know, the base root level of, you know, the astral plane, the physical marrying of the physical plane, which is the astral. And I think by, I don't know how some of these people actually do reach like a Nirvana or the Summerland. Maybe this plane level that I went into in that courtyard could be a Summerland or a Nirvana to me. All I can say, it was just absolutely pure beautiful. I mean, I've never seen anything that majestic. And being in presence of those two angels, so in a way, it's kind of like the Nirvana, a Summerland in itself. So, you know, everybody's different. You know, maybe the person at the time was feeling just pure love, and by accident, they stumbled across that ability to do that. I've talked to a few different close individuals through friends who've experienced that, you know, the whiteness, the pure love, you know, mother's womb, comfort, joy, happiness, and they did not know how they even reached it. And then after that experience was over, that's all they wanted to keep trying to do. And since then, they haven't been able to do that. But I do hear a lot of those accounts.
Right.
And I think a lot of those accounts are really a lot of near-death experiences that people go through and are able to reach into the even the higher plane levels.
Yeah.
And to reach that.
Now, you mentioned that your experiences eventually helped to develop your spiritual understanding. Now, at those stages, which presumably has come in the latter years, were you ever allowed to go into those areas that we know of, such as the Hall of Records?
I have seen the Akashic Records, holy records, whatever you like to call it, or the library, at different times. I think some of it deals with not, it's not like a book, okay? It's not like something you open up and, oh, wow, you know, there's my whole life in front of me. It's more like capturing a window of a precognitive experience or a past experience that I have seen and been able to experience on occasion. And what I mean by that, it's like you could go into the past, be a part of the past, but also looking at it from an observer and taking part in that scene. And you know, everybody has a different spin-off, you know, the Hall of Records, Akashic Records, but as close as I've ever been able to get to something like that would be more or less by accident and by random.
Question I'd like to ask you, and I don't know whether this will test your experience, but I know a few of our listeners are blind. Now, would you see any problem in someone who lacks or has always lacked, say, physical sight in doing what you do?
You know, that's an awesome question. And, you know, I looked that up on the web a while back and did some research on that. And what was interesting, especially with the near-death people who've experienced that type of trauma event, that they've been able to report visual stimuli and light and objects that were foreign to them, and that they were able to document right down to the T in detail of what they were actually seeing, even though they had a different approach on how to explain it, because you know, to us, we see everything every day and we take it as second nature, but to a blind person, you know, a person will look alien to them because they don't know what that person will look like. So they'll try to best describe it as they can. But yeah, but a lot of them will explain that, you know, there were colors, there was this light, there was a silver object. So right there, you know, that validation, that proof in somebody who is blind does have that capability to actually leave their body, and I wouldn't be surprised that they would be able to see visually. Now, I know on some other occasions where people that who are handicapped, who cannot move or lost, you know, their legs in war or an arm or this, that, you know, a lot of people for therapy will actually leave their body and have their, you know, exterior limbs and legs back, and that kind of gives them a reassurance and comfort that, yes, you know, my spirit, my soul, you know, lives on, and I will be, you know, exactly what I am after I physically die. The only thing that's different is that this physical body is missing that leg.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's something that, you know, I would love to be able to work with somebody who is blind and is interested in leaving the body and doing a clinical case testing on that. That would be awesome.
You might get a few emails about that. Do you believe in reincarnation as a result of what you've experienced?
I believe it's definitely possible. I have read various books. One was the case of Janet E. Cardwell, Janet Cardwell, and she had a past life regression done on her. I think she was like a famous author in Europe, and she wrote many books in her lifetime. And a lot of the information that she wrote in her books was a result of her past life regression of past memories. And she did not know where all this information was coming from.
Yeah.
And she had this life regression and took her back, you know, all the way to, you know, the biblical times. And all these different lives that she had was documented, and then that they were able to validate these claims of this past life regression.
Yes, yes.
Now, you know, I have done a little research on it to where there's been documentary proof saying, you know, this child that was born is, you know, telling their mom and dad that, you know, they lived in Alaska, they were on this fishing boat, and, you know, this is what they did for their life, and so on. And, you know, and the parents are just absolutely like, what are you talking about, Johnny? And then, as, you know, this kid persists and say, yeah, this is what I did before in the past. So they start to analyze this, look up, you know, the data, and, you know, lo and behold, they're validating that claim that this kid absolutely has no association with except that memory. So I do lean more towards the, yeah, it's definitely possible. But, you know, as for personally, I mean, I don't know if I am reincarnated or what have you. I think it might be my first time on this earth. I don't know, but I think anything and everything is possible. It's just, you know, taking the time and researching it and kind of like weighing out the facts and the evidence and really the experience too, and doing the work and seeing the data.
Yeah. What would be your feelings about a story I read some time ago about someone who, like yourself, was possibly adept at getting out of the body, who was enjoying their experience so much they actually stayed out of the body too long and the body died? I guess that's perhaps only a remote possibility, but what would you think about that?
Well, you definitely need to know we're definitely here for a reason, you know, physical and spiritual. And we have to learn different, you know, what we have to do here physically, and then bring us into, you know, when we pass on, into the spiritual. And you know, it's basically in balance. You know, I would love to go out in the astro, be out there 24/7, and doing all these wonderful, beautiful experiences and helping people and soul retrievals and all this. But I'm also here physically, and then I have a responsibility, you know, to my family, to work, to my interests, my hobbies, you know, people that I work with, and, you know, being a hospice volunteer. And I have to learn all these things and then eventually graduate from this level into that level. So a lot of that could be, you know, obsessive behavior and wanting to be on the other side versus on this side. It's kind of like taking a drug and not knowing when to stop that drug and realizing, you know, okay, there is a reason why I'm here on this level too. And that level is going to be coming, you know, down the road 50, 60, 70 years from now. So, you know, let's have both levels and let's see what we can do to, you know, interact on both levels and help others, you know.
Yeah.
Not just go off to the other side and give up on this level. And I guess that would be, in a way, in a form of suicide, too.
Yes, yes. Now, you spoke about helping others, and earlier on you commented that through your experience out of the body, somehow you looked at perhaps people when you came back a different way. So can you actually pinpoint what it was that made you feel a more caring, loving, and humanitarian person?
Yeah, you know, when I was explaining earlier about being at my friend's house and him telling me about astral projection, out-of-body experiences, you know, I would really kind of be like one-track mind. Everything revolved around me. And here I am, I have like the $30,000 sports car, and, you know, I'd be cruising around town and I'd see somebody in a, you know, $2,000 used beat-up car, and I'm like, oh, I'm better than you. Or, you know, I have more money. Or I have my youth and age, and, you know, I'm experienced in the world. Or, you know, I'm a college graduate, or I am this denomination of faith. Or, you know, white people are better than, you know, black people or Chinese. And, you know, that's the way I kind of actually, that's the way I thought when I was younger. And I thought everything, you know, everybody should revolve around me. I should have the silver platter. You know, I should have the butler waiting on me. And as that first experience going out of body, it was a real jump, a shock to the system. And with that, just, you know, it's kind of like a slap in the face, the way you think back, you know, of how all these little things that you think you're all superior and it's all about me, and you go out of body and you see these things over and over again and do all your testing and experience and having the opportunity and a gift to be visited by an angel and, you know, soul-searching, reading other books, taking part in community, and over a course period of time and through years, you start to realize, no, this is not just about me. This is about me being here as a human and helping the next person out. And that's what I really learned over the last 20 years, to be, you know, a better person to my family, to my wife, to my three Scottish Terrier dogs, my in-laws, my immediate family and friends and co-workers and clients and patients. I've learned at different stages that in the beginning, as I started what I had stated earlier, it was a wake-up call, like, wait a minute, you know, I am really this small little microorganism organism here, and, you know, we got, like, billions of people on this planet, and what makes me any different than you? And that first experience was, like I said, it was a very life-changing event, because you don't get the opportunity to, you know, leave the body every day. And as over the 2 years that I've been doing this, just to even be able to, you know, produce an OBE every week, 2-3 times a week, you know, many people are just struggling with it. So I had to do the math and ask, you know, why am I able to do this and other people struggle with it? What am I bringing to the table from this and to help other people with it? And I had found my way through to connect to God through my experiences, following Christ, and also learning other things that, you know, OBE is just not out having a good time and partying and flying around, but spiritual things and what I can bring to the table here physically on Earth and helping other people too.
Yeah.
So it's a long life progression that brings you to where I am right now. So it's not overnight, but it's a learning process.
Yeah. When did you realize or accept that there was a plan for your life?
I would say probably about like 5 years ago. My wife and I, we met, and I was living in Detroit at the time, and she was in Grand Rapids, and I had not gone to church almost like in 10, 15 years. You know, I did project, and, you know, I had the experiences, and I realized that, you know, a lot of it was not about me and, you know, what I can do to help other people as well. But I wasn't really proactive in that sense of going out, being a hospice volunteer, a companion to the dying, or doing, you know, humanitarian work, or helping families at Christmas or soup kitchens, you know, not being proactive. When I had met my wife and she explained to me, you know, this is part of my life, going to church every Sunday, you know, doing things with the church, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I was a little apprehensive about that, and then that started to make me question even more about my OBEs, those experiences, and, you know, why am I able to do this so successfully, and how can I really put this truly to use? And as I started soul-searching for God, I started to see something to emerge that I would ask God for something, and, you know, months later, my energy and my level and my interest in projection started to grow even more.
Right.
And
now, David, I'm going to stop you there because I have to finish the program at 5 minutes to the hour.
Okay.
And I've still got questions I would have liked to ask you, but you've fully covered those which actually relate to out-of-the-body experiences. So I can give you another minute, if you like. Could you give our listeners a short message that might help them if they attempt to leave the body?
Yeah. Really, you know, what I was saying earlier, you know, the last few minutes about, you know, the spirituality in the 20 years, it's not an overnight process. You know, you're not, like, reborn, and it's a spiritual understanding and experience, and there are reasons why we are able to project and to be able to experience these type of levels, and it all comes down to is just, you know, based on intent. What do you want to do, and how do you want to use this information? Do you want to use it for good or bad? And hopefully the people that listen to this message, you know, they look at OBEs and they do this for a positive reason versus a negative reason.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Now, I'm going to have to say thank you very much, David. That was a fascinating explanation you've given about your experiences. You're a very good speaker. So thank you very much for appearing on my program. And for our listeners, I will say that next week I will be interviewing Ray Setti, who is a psychic astrologer. He's author of a book called The Planets Align So Rarely. He does a free monthly newsletter that he calls Astrology for Tomorrow. So I reckon that's going to be a very interesting interview as well. So I'll say thank you for being with me. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. And thank you, David, again.
Thank you, Mike.